97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty.
What's up?
Nothing. I'm trying to place that bumper, and I don't know where it's from. Do you know it?
I don't know that one.
Lloyd, can you replay it?
Is it from Friday?
I don't know. That's the thing. I can't place it.
Called Redbone Childish Gambino.
Oh, Childish Gambino, that's the guy from Community.
The show Community?
Yeah. Hmm. Donald something.
This is just one of his hits?
I guess so.
Sutherland?
No.
Most famous Donald.
Duck.
Sutherland, easily. Well, Duck's pretty good, actually. Probably still Donald Sutherland.
How about Reagan?
Oh, yeah, he's pretty important.
Or is that Ronald?
That was Ronald, yeah. Donald
You're
Glover.
Thinking Ronald Miller.
Would you say Ronald Reagan is bigger than Ronald McDonald?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Reagan hasn't been with us for a while, and his term ended in 88, so you got a new generation of people that don't really remember him too much.
What about Ronald Miller from Can't Buy Me Love?
Don't even remember. Yeah, I don't even know who you're talking about there.
Like, what?
So are you going Donald or Ronald? Like, what's our...
Well, Donald and Ronald. Because Ronald Reagan and Ronald McDonald would be your top two Ronalds.
Yeah.
I think your top two Donalds would be Donald Duck and Donald Sutherland.
Not Donald Glover, who was Childish Gambino?
Although I don't know Donald Sutherland from anything other than The Dirty Dozen, but he was phenomenal in that.
Also in the Hunger Games. You didn't like the Hunger Games?
Didn't see the Hunger Games.
You're better off, by the way. You would hate the Hunger Games.
I didn't see the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Can you think
of a
more
famous...
Did
you not like the Hunger Games, Scotty? I would have thought you would have been a Hunger Games kind of guy.
No, I didn't really care for them. No? In fact, okay. I didn't even see the last one.
Hold on. I remember Donald Sutherland was a old drunk attorney in a movie with Matthew McConaughey.
Yes, it was A Time to Kill.
That's... Okay, yep. That might have been his second best, just behind A Dirty Dozen.
Time to Kill, great book, great movie. Equally great. Yeah, I killed them, and I hope they burn in hell.
Great, both.
That should have been a one-minute cinema.
Sure,
right
the book
there.
Was just as good, but the movie was phenomenal. I can't think of a more famous
it
Donald.
It still could be a one-minute, Scotty. I wouldn't mind seeing your Samuel L. chops.
Are you just trying? Are you just trying to get people to get upset to talk about a former president, maybe?
No. Why? Oh.
No. Oh.
There's the light bulb. Don't shake your head at me.
What?
I wasn't doing any of that on purpose.
I thought you were just kind of like twisting the knife a little bit.
All right. Donald Duck, Donald Trump. Fine, if that's the way you want to go. We got to keep Donald Sutherland in there.
Sutherland's not coming out, so.
Yeah, let's see. I'm looking at famous Donalds, and there's not a lot of them out there. Once you get past Trump and Sutherland.
Did they include Duck?
You do realize that the given name of Donny Osmond is actually Donald Clark Osmond.
I don't even think I
But if he doesn't go by though. Donald, I don't think you can include him.
All right. Well, if he – no, I think he – no, I think you do have to.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I think you got to – because Don Henley is a Donald.
Yeah, you don't include him either.
I think you got to include him.
If he's not going by Donald, then no, I don't think so.
Well, fine, then we're putting in Donald Glover. I mean, he was amazing in Predator 2.
That's not Donald.
That's Danny. Is Donald Glover his son? I think Donald Glover was like a, wasn't he an X-Man?
No, I just told you he's the guy. He's Childish Gambino.
Oh, that's the Gambino.
Oh, you were serious.
Oh,
I was right.
I didn't know you were being serious about that. That's about it for the Donalds, man.
I thought you were making a Danny Glover reference, but I mean, I was thinking Donald, but whatever. Okay.
Did we mention Donald Penn?
Well, there you go, Lloyd. He went by Donald, too.
Was it Donald Penn?
Yeah.
That was the brother that's left us? He was the one from Best of the Best?
No, that's Donald Penn Sean was the...
Penn.
Donald Penn was the offensive lineman that left a dirty voicemail for Lloyd.
Oh, that's Donald Penn.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Chris Penn. Donald Penn.
Now you're thinking
Come
of
on,
Sean
Lloyd.
Penn. That's enough.
That's
enough.
A big L for you, Lloyd.
That's enough. Let's stop there.
All right.
That does not get played enough.
I know.
It's one of my all-time favorite moments.
That was an L for you, Lloyd. How do you not pick up your phone? Why are you ignoring Scotty G's phone calls?
Never. I mean, the other way around it happens,
no.
But I never ignore Scotty's.
No. Well, you did that day.
I didn't. I missed your phone call. Sometimes you miss it.
It rang once and then.
No, it didn't. Don't go there. I wish you would have had him call me a year later because I had some things I'd like to say to him.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you would have said anything to him.
Can you believe that out of all the Ronalds and all the Donalds, the most famous one is a clown that serves hamburgers? That's crazy.
Johnny, no.
That's the most famous Ronald or Donald. Is a clown that serves hamburgers.
I don't know about this.
I do know about this. That's the most famous one out of all of them.
Would you get a handle on him?
You're going to go over here, man.
Yeah. Johnny, got to back up a little bit, my friend.
Let's see. You know, you look at the Ronalds. Yeah, there's no famous Ronalds outside of Reagan and McDonald.
That's about it.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know how we got down this path.
I don't either, buddy.
Oh, Childish Gambino. There you go.
Oh, it was the intro.
It's what we have. What happens when we play boring intros?
Oh, it's mildly.
I'm joking, Lloyd. It's a good intro.
No, he's not.
No, I already know he's not.
He's not. He doesn't like the intro.
It's fine. It's all right. If the kids are listening to it, that's all good. All right. Let's circle back to BYU Media Day. We had some stuff we didn't get a chance to get to yesterday.
Well, you and I were talking about that Kevin Kloon interview. And Kevin Kloon, the new linebackers coach at BYU, I thought was spectacular for Media Day. He's polished. He's been around the block a time or two. He's been to multiple programs and – I don't know if BYU fans are real familiar with Kevin Kloon, but he served as a special assistant last year.
Yeah.
He was behind the scenes helping with a lot of film breakdown, helping with a lot of game planning, and really gave himself an opportunity to grab that assistant position that was left open. Remember, you lost two offensive assistants. You lost your O-line coach and you lost your offensive coordinator. They actually didn't replace those guys on the offensive side. They gave that label to Kevin Kloon as the linebackers coach. So they basically boosted it to five assistants on the defensive side. And I know you've known Kevin Kloon for years.
Yeah. Yeah, he was look, he's made the rounds. He was at Weber State when Gary Anderson got the job at Utah State. In fact, for you Utah State fans, he's the one that found the Vigils. He offered, which was the older? Was it Nick?
Yeah, Nick.
Or Zach?
Zach was the oldest.
Zach was the oldest. So Zach, Kevin Kloon was telling Zach, hey, look, I don't have a scholarship for you here at Weber, but I'll give you a walk-on spot at Weber State. And then Kevin Kloon takes the job up at Utah State, offers him a walk-on spot up there, and then the rest is history with the Vigil boys. In Logan.
Two of the best linebackers in Utah State history.
Yeah. And then does he go with Gary to Wisconsin?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Okay.
And then ended up at Oregon State with Gary.
Yeah. And then came back, was with Matt for a couple of years as defensive coordinator, and then went to Oregon State with Gary. And so, yeah, he's been all over the board. And so he's been at Weber. He's been at Utah.
He wasn't there with Bobby Wagner, though, was he?
Yes, he was.
So he was
on that first staff that inherited. He inherited Bobby. Bobby was a Brent guy. Recruit.
So he helped build and polish Bobby.
Yep, absolutely.
Did he work with David Woodward?
Maybe in the early years.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you look over the last 8 years of linebackers at Utah State, They arguably, well, man, Utah's right there in that mix.
But David Woodward, the Vigils, Bobby Wagner. I mean, you got some NFL dudes in there.
Some really good linebackers that were polished. And Kevin Kloon was a part of that.
Yeah.
Kevin Kloon had some comments about stepping into that linebacker room and kind of what he expects from his linebacker core this year.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot to live up to with these guys, but I got a great crew of guys. I got a great room of hardworking kids. And I expect them. I expect the world from them this year, and they expect them to lead the defense. I expect them to make plays and run things. And so, yeah, that's a lot to live up to. We lost, you know, a couple guys from last year, but really most of the room's back. And, you know, again, this team, you know, we're going to have a big rough schedule and all that stuff, but this team should be ready for it.
You think they're ready for it?
I do. I think certainly defensively out of any position group, the linebackers have the most depth and the most talent. Defensively.
Yeah.
You could probably argue that the combination of tight end and wide receivers might have that level of talent and maybe even that depth. They've got a lot of brands and a lot of names that they can roll out there. But I think that this linebacking core is as deep and as good as they need them to be. And what I really liked was, and I can't remember if it was DJ or it was PK that asked Kevin Kloon about this year's schedule and the depth that was needed. But Kevin Kloon went into what he could do, some of the different modifications and movements that he could make with this linebacking core, trying to get through this very daunting schedule where you've got seven P5s and a 12-game season. It's going to be a long season, and he talked about that depth.
Yeah, I think we do, especially at linebacker we do. And that's always an interesting thing as you talk about injuries. How does a team, you know, reload after an injury? Or, you know, we got, a good schedule where there's going to be some bruises and some banging and some things like that. So how do you come back after, you know, on a Monday, okay, we got to reset the alignment, the depth chart, because this guy's going to be out and we move this guy over here and this guy's got to play over there. You know, especially at linebacker, I got guys like Peyton Wilgar who I can put in any position at any time. I could walk in at halftime and say, hey, you got to play this position. He'll do a great job. Smart players like Keenan Peely that can do whatever he needs to do, you know, whatever we ask him to do. And then you got other guys. You got Ben Bywater and Max Tooley who are athletic and strong, and they can fit a lot of different roles. You know, you got, you know, Chaz Ayu that can play different places, you know. And so I feel that depth on defense is going to be there. Maybe you're not seeing a bunch of stars, but you do have a lot of guys that maybe you never heard of. They're going to play some quality minutes. They're going to do some good stuff.
So you heard all the names that he rolled through, and Chaz Ayu, I think, is a definite rotational guy. You know, you could put him in the defensive backfield. You can move him at linebacker, and he can do some things for you on the outside. And then he went through a couple of other guys, Max Tooley and Peyton Wilgar. We've talked about Jackson Kafusi, who's going to be a mainstay. Keenan Peely, who is a rotational guy. You know, I could take a Peyton Wilgar, and if I needed to get a rush in, I could use him as a rush in, or the same with Keenan Peely or Pepe Tanavasa. So I've got a lot of guys that I can rotate in as different rush looks, guys that are better maybe in pass drops, guys that are better in lockdown and follow step. I've got guys that are really good in blitzing schemes. So I think BYU's linebackers, as you heard right there from Coach Kloon, I think that BYU's linebackers are going to be the bell cow of that defense, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a really important thing. Another interesting thing that Coach Kloon was talking about, there was two more things that that he talked about. This last one that we're going to get to is the most interesting to me. But this is him talking about how important NFL success for, you know, guys like Cal Vanoy and other BYU linebackers that are finding success in the NFL, how that's helping BYU recruit linebackers.
Yeah, and it's just kind of where this program is going. And, you know, our schedule has, what, seven P5s next year. Okay, so that's definitely a P5 schedule. You're going to be able to test yourself against, you know, some of the great teams. And so there's not going to be no question. You're either going to be able to do it, you can't do it. And, yeah, when we get kids in here, you know, they all want to go to the NFL, and they're going to get that shot, and they're definitely going to be able to put it on film. Nothing's going to be able to hold them back here. But, you know, there's also other reasons why they come to this school. So
yeah.
It's a unique situation that I'm just seeing the tip of the iceberg about.
So the NFL definitely is alluring. But, Scotty, this is the conversation I want to jump into. I think that this cut is an indicator as to why BYU hired Kevin Kloon. And I want you to kind of listen to his take on this question. He was asked about preparing for Arizona. And it's difficult because coaching staff shuffle. And the transfer portal, it makes things really different with having to evaluate different talent and different coaches. Listen to some of the depth of detail that Coach Kloon goes into when he's asked about preparing for Arizona.
Well, it's a whole new situation. You got a whole bunch of new coaches, and you got a whole bunch of new portal guys coming in. You got a whole bunch of, you know, question marks. And so, you know, I'm going back to watching UCLA film from 2017 when Josh Rosen was still at UCLA, you know, and I'm trying to figure out schemes and stuff like that that the coach might like, you know. You know, then we watch some Seattle Seahawks run game because Brendan Carroll's, you know, he's all that stuff. So it's just kind of a mishmash of all that as we're getting prepared. And we don't know exactly what the personnel will be because of those all those transfers and, you know, who's going to be the quarterback. And there's so many questions. But, you know, our kids will be ready. They'll be ready to play. Apparently I hear, you know, the BYU fans just spent a whole bunch of money and got 47,000 tickets for that game.
Coach Kloon has been around the block, and that's why there were quite a few guys that I would like to see get that open assistant position at BYU. And I was pretty vocal about those guys.
Yep.
And I still to this day would have loved to seen Jan Jorgensen get that shot and that opportunity. A guy like Jason Ayu, who's been working with NFL scouts and recruiting behind the scenes, fantastic defensive mind. He was a part of that 2008 Sugar Bowl, Utah Sugar Bowl coaching staff. So he's been around and he knows it. But the one thing that you're really going to get from Coach Kloon is a depth of experience in understanding who's where they were, and how to go about the film study to prepare for that team. I think Coach Kloon can bring a really deep amount of knowledge in preparation in that form. And that's going to go a long way. You know, Elisa Tuiaki is becoming more of an experienced defensive coordinator, but he's still kind of a baby in the game. He's still pretty new. And that's not an insult to Elisa. I hope that Coach Tuiaki would never hear me say that and be like, oh, that's an insult to me. No, that's not meant as an insult. It's actually a bit of a compliment because he's so good as to where he already is.
Correct.
But he's got to continue to build his resume and continue to compliment his staff, and I think that Coach Kloon is that for him. You know, I've got some Kloon criticisms. You know, he hasn't succeeded everywhere he's been.
No.
He's had some failures. And so I'm not fully backing Coach Kloon and saying, this is the guy for the job, and he is. But I'm telling you, he will bring that depth of knowledge of how to prepare and best way to prepare and be able to give me tips as a coordinator on schemes that just might work for me. So if I'm Tuiaki, I'm paying very close attention. If I'm Tuiaki, I'm even leaning on Kloon a little bit, saying, so what are you saying? And I think that they did lean on Kloon a little bit last year.
Yeah, which I think was important, and I think he played a role in their success last year, for sure.
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah.
And so I've got a lot of excitement with Coach Kloon and where he's at. And I just on a personal note, Cade Hoke, Chris Hoke's son, just got back off a mission. So you're going to be adding him to the linebacking core, which everybody saw that they signed Nathan Hoke.
Yeah.
That's Chris Hoke's younger son. But Cade Hoke was the kid that BYU'd recruited that they had got a commitment from, and he went on a mission, and now he's back. And I've seen a couple of pictures of him getting his pads on and getting ready for the upcoming season. I'm excited for him. Hope he has a great season. I hope he can impress Coach Kloon.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Bob's with us as we're live here at RGS Exterior. How are you, man?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. All right, so let's say there's somebody out there that you know, watched a show on, you know, Chip and JoJo or something like that, and they're like, this is what I need my house to look like. They call up. What's the process like in from call to actual start construction?
So what they do is, you know, they make a call in. We get them scheduled, let them know our lead time as far as, you know, how far out we're going to be to get the estimate done. We've got a team of estimators here that will go out and meet with the homeowner, make sure all their needs are addressed, and that way we can put an accurate estimate together. And then, you know, we talk them through that estimate, and if they, you know, if they like how things are, we get it scheduled. There is quite a backlog between scheduling and work commencing right now, but you know, in that time we do our best to keep in contact and make sure the homeowner knows where we are as far as schedule goes.
And Bob, one thing I love that you guys provide, there's a lot of things, but your customer service is incredible. One of my favorite things is the way you can take somebody's individual house, their unique home, and you can put it into a system, all the design, and you can add those exterior parts to it, maybe some stone or some brick or some hardy or some posts or some soffit or fascia, and they can see what their exterior could look like in a picture on your computer.
Correct, and it's a pretty accurate, you know, a pretty accurate picture that we can give them. You know, we just, as you guys have seen, we've done a remodel on our building here, and we actually did a Rental Works mock-up on there, and if you hold it up to the building, it is almost spot on. Yeah, it's pretty good. So, and it's a great tool, so the homeowners have a little bit of confidence, and you know, it takes, so it gives them some of that peace of mind to what they're getting.
How much does that cost to do that?
We do it for free. You know, if we're getting into it, we do it. You know, we usually will just work it up for free. You know, if they're interested, you know, we won't do it just if, you know, we're out there on a first sight, you know, and say, you know, they want to get that, because we want to make sure that we're not spending the time on it for somebody that's just going to walk away and take it somewhere else, because it does take a significant amount of time to put one of those together.
You know, and the thing is, there's a lot of people that are kind of intimidated by the whole process.
Sure.
And they're like, you know, because, you know, you guys do it for an incredible, you know, for an incredible price, but it's still an investment out there. And I think people want to know that there's going to be somebody there that's going to, if they need it, hold their hand through the whole process too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, sometimes we're not perfect at it, but we do our very best. And if there is something that doesn't go right, we're absolutely there to remedy it and take care of things. You know, we want to make sure that the customer and the homeowner is 100%, you know, satisfied with their product when we are completed. And we're not completed until they are.
Yeah, that's awesome. And right now, take advantage of some great opportunities. Call right now, 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. Best thing right now, just get some information. Have somebody come out to your house, take a look at your place, say, look, this is what I want to do. I want to go with James Hardy. What's that going to cost me? Or whatever the case might be, just go down the list and see what works for best for you and your home. 801-280-3110. It's RGS Exteriors right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Rises and fires for three. The playoffs may be over for the Utah Jazz.
You're outstanding.
But the season never ends on The Zone Sports Network. From the NBA draft to free agency and on to the summer league, The Zone will be with the Jazz every step of the way as the Jazz front office builds for the future. Your exclusive home of Utah Jazz basketball is right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Good, the bad, the ugly. I'm going to put this in the good because I think it's something that you and I and Lloyd could eventually sounds like something we'd get involved in. I know you're not a fantasy football guy. However, there was a fantasy football league, and Lee Sanderlin was the man who finished dead last in his league. Now, you get your prizes for winning in first place, but in this league, you're penalized for finishing in last place.
Okay.
His punishment was that he had to go to a local Waffle House. He went to one in Brandon, Mississippi, and he had to spend 24 hours in the Waffle House. Now, for every waffle he ate, he could take an hour off of that 24-hour span. I actually like this, and I think it's something that we should do. So if you have not been to a Waffle House, those waffles are substantial. Mm-hmm. They're not easily consumed. He knocked down two pretty quick. That shaved off 2 hours. Then he got three down, and then things really started to tighten up for him. Four or five really struggled. He was allowed to go to the parking lot and
vomit?
Yes.
Really?
And
kept the hours?
And kept the hours, yeah. Finally, when it was all said and done, I believe he was able to get down eight waffles and spent 16 hours in the Waffle House.
16 hours sitting in the Waffle House.
Now, look,
you see a lot of things in 16 hours in a Waffle
House. And that's part of the, there's a great thread on Twitter about some of the weird stuff he saw spending essentially an evening in a Waffle House.
Man, part of that
thread was phenomenal, by the way. It was so good.
You should have to sit at the table closest to the restroom in the Waffle House, too. Put him in the table that's the closest to the men's restroom door.
Now, we do not have a Waffle House here in Utah, but I anticipate that somewhere along the line, we're going to have to do a wager that includes something along these lines.
I've eaten at the Waffle House twice, and that is good enough for me.
Yeah, I had it when I was in Indianapolis for the NCAA tournament. There was a Waffle House right next to my hotel, which shows you the quality of hotel I was staying in. I went over there, and I had the hash browns, and they put gravy and all kinds of stuff on it. You felt your heart stop a little bit, but overall it was okay, but it was like, okay, I did that and now I'm done.
And I won't do that again.
And I don't really feel like doing that ever again.
Do they rub axle grease on the walls on purpose and spray their floors with Pam? Like, is that just part of the overall
allure? Yeah.
The allure? Because when I was sitting there, I'm like, how can that wall be that dirty?
Yeah.
I just can't understand. That it's like a mustard yellow.
Like, if you lean
brown.
Up, if you lean up against the wall, your shirt will pick up about a quart of oil on it.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah. Like, I really don't know how they pass a lot of health inspections.
I don't either, and I don't know how they get people to come in and eat their food.
But people eat their. I mean, it's a real. I mean, it's a popular joint. There's thousands of them across the Midwest and the South.
I think it's pretty stinking. I think that's a pretty creative idea to penalize a loser, though.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what would be the equivalent here in Utah.
I think this needs to be our next, like, Jazz over-under. Doesn't have to be a waffle, per se.
Like, I was thinking about, like, a rest station.
Like a Flying J?
Yeah. Like, you just have to sit in a Flying J for 24 hours.
Next to the showers.
And for every large Slurpee you suck down, you get an hour off.
Oh, man. For every slice of Flying J pizza that you're consuming.
Oh, man. What do you think?
Oh, man.
Like, just some type of rest station.
Maybe we get Maverick on board.
And you know that they're going to be like, what is this guy doing here? Why is he still here? And then you'll have to explain your situation.
I'm sorry, guys. I have to be here for a.
Have you ever showered in a Flying J shower?
No, I can honestly say, and that's not quite on the bucket list either.
It feels like you have, Hans.
Like, yeah, I don't think you bring that up without you having some experience.
They're actually pretty convenient. I mean, they're not terrible.
Okay,
showers.
So you
okay,
have.
Johnny's claimed to have done it.
Yeah, they're I've showered. They actually have an individual stall.
Oh, shower number 27 is now open.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. Johnny, so,
you've showered at a Flying J.
Unfortunately, yes. Tour bus. Being on a tour bus, you have to shower somewhere.
Like, Graham's not stopping and getting a shower at
Johnny
a Flying J.
Johnny just did
he?
It this morning.
I can't believe
no, it.
It
was with Charlie.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Can you not just get in the hot tub on the tour bus?
Not in our tour bus.
So
I'll tell you what, though. It's really gross. You want to wear shoes.
Really?
Yeah.
In the Flying J shower?
Yeah.
I did not. Yeah. I did not.
And if you don't have, like, you know, sandals or something, you best go in with your tennis shoes.
Well, just go in and buy some, you know, like, they got them for like $3, get some shower shoes. Okay, when did you do this?
I showered in the Flying J at the, you know, the Flying J that's right there between Mountain Home and is it Wendell that butts up to the south end of Mountain Home?
That sounds right. You know, one of those. Those were schools we played every year. Maybe Glen's Ferry.
Actually, the Flying J might be just inside Mountain Home. But I showered there, just stayed. I stayed in my car probably a quick 4 hours sleep, 5 hours sleep, because I couldn't make it up to Weezer. Didn't want to get a hotel room.
Wow, you're close, too. I mean, you're only looking at a few more hours.
About 2 hours.
Yeah.
I think you just finished the drive. I don't think you, like, need to.
No.
All you needed was Mama to send you a text, and you would have made it.
Jump in the shower, hit a little cold water on the face. It was fantastic.
Could have did that just with the sink.
No, it was very pleasant, Lloyd. It was very pleasant.
It sounds fun.
No, it does not sound fun.
Yeah,
nothing
I know.
About that sounds fun.
Hey, speaking of showers.
Don't put the creepy voice
oh,
on.
Oh, no, I'm not. Have you seen
hey,
the criticism?
Speaking of showers.
Have you seen the criticism on BYU's locker room?
No, why?
Because they've got the Tree of Life showers.
Oh, they still have the community. What? They spent all that money on that locker room, and they still have the Tree of Life showers.
Yeah, go watch the video. Go watch the video. So, I mean, I've never known anything different in the world of football.
Same.
You know, from eighth grade when they started awkwardly making a shower in eighth grade, when you spend 5 minutes in PE class and don't even get sweaty, and they're like, you must shower to be checked off, and you're like, I'm not ready to do that yet.
I'll just smell all day. It'll be fine.
I would much rather smell. All through NFL and AFL, you just had that round cylinder in the middle of the room, and you press the button and spray off. But I had thought maybe things would advance, but apparently they have not.
And people are upset about it?
Oh, yeah. People are like, so you've got the Taj Mahal of a locker room, and you've got these showers? Oh, look, man.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You've got like 100 dudes needing to take showers at the same time.
Yeah.
You can't have 100 individual shower stalls.
Right. You might have 30 guys that are trying to get in there and shower at the same time, and you need to make it convenient to get in and get the sweat and stink off. And
plus,
get going.
It makes you efficient too. You're not sitting there just sitting under there for hot water for 10 minutes. Now when it's a communal shower,
you're getting clean and getting out.
Getting out.
But man, that's where some of the most brutal criticisms come from. That's for sure. I told you the story about. I told you.
You told me. Okay, you told me a lot of stories. So be careful on this.
I told you the story about one of our play-by-play guys.
Oh, yeah. What's he doing in there?
Well, I'm not – I don't say the name because I don't. We had a play-by-play guy come and shower with us as a team. And no, I'm not giving any names, Lloyd. But let me just tell you, this guy is very famous. And he's in the shower, and we're just kind of like – and he's an older gentleman.
And he was a larger gentleman, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one of our linebackers, as this gentleman was walking out, one of our linebackers said, "Hey, you've lost a few pounds, haven't you?" And he turns and he goes, "Actually, I'm about 20 pounds heavier than I was 2 months ago." And this linebacker goes, "I could tell." And it was like, oh, I just felt awkward and bad. And I remember thinking, I hope I never treat somebody that poorly. It was really brutal.
But then later.
No, but then later, nothing. And we used to do the shampoo trick a lot in those Shower of Life showers or Tree of Life showers. The guy would be washing his hair out, and you'd just keep dumping the shampoo on his hair. And he'd be trying to get the shampoo out. We had one guy who actually was doing roids, and he had a roid rage right there in the shower.
I think you need to clarify this. All of this was not at BYU.
Oh, no. No, you got to understand. Like, I've got
– Yeah.
I've got 21 years of football.
Can we say it wasn't Paul James coming in and taking a shower?
No, I don't want to exclude anybody because then that starts to narrow things down. I'm not excluding anybody.
So you're saying Paul James was the guy?
No, I'm not saying that either. No.
Scotty.
Can we just remove one local legend from the story?
No. No, because that narrows it down too much. We're leaving Paul James as an available individual who came and showered with us.
Okay. All right, let's move on. There's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Would you ever, I mean, even though weed is legal now, would you ever go to an airport with weed?
No, no.
Or any type
well,
of
look,
bong?
Look, I don't indulge and don't plan on any time in the near future. But I think if you are a consistent marijuana user, you still know that you're not out of the woods in, like, you don't know what the rules are at any given place. So, yeah, I would not be, certainly not be taking weed to an airport. That seems like that would be a very dumb thing to do. And anybody who does that would be very dumb.
Well, apparently Alex Caruso flew into Easterwood Airport in College Station, Texas, and had a grinder and weed residue on him. And
had a what?
A grinder, which I guess it grinds.
Oh, see, I was glad that Lloyd asked because I was going to ask too, but then I didn't want to seem like.
I don't know, but my guess is that's where you put the buds in and you grind it into a substance.
That sounds like a.
You could put in the. In the pipe or the bong. Do people still use bongs?
I think they do.
Well, they found the grinder and they found weed residue and they arrested him. They called up the A&M cops. The cops came. They arrested him, released him on $3,000 bond. He had to pay a $552 fine for the paraphernalia charge. And it's just a bad look, I guess. Is it a bad look? I don't even know anymore.
I'd say that's a bad look, yeah. I mean,
makes you look stupid.
That's
the
thing. It's more about looking dumb. I mean, you're just an idiot if you're packing that stuff with you. Like, you got enough money. You're an NBA player. If you need to go buy your paraphernalia at a new location, do it. Don't be packing that stuff around you just so you can save a few bucks.
Seems like the last NBA, I mean, I'm sure there's been others, but the last one I remember something like that wasn't it Damon Stoudemire? Didn't he have a similar issue in the airport?
Good.
Yeah.
They nicknamed him like Damon Bongemeyer.
I think you're right.
You know, we had a one station, we had some jazz tickets to give away when they were playing the Blazers, and they were all upper bowl. And so we had a promotion like getting, because we knew they were upper bowl tickets. And we're like getting high with the Blazers. And,
Well, that's when they had a few guys. They had a few, that was back when they had a few guys with questionable character, right?
The jail blazers. Yeah,
that's right.
Oh, man, are you being serious?
Yeah.
How'd that go over?
I was kind of proud of that one.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun one. That sounds like a fun one. Yeah, for sure.
I probably can't do that stuff anymore. All right, let's get to the ugly.
And of course, the ugly.
Texas coach Steve Sarkisian suspended freshman wide receiver Keithron Lee after the player's arrest on an assault charge. According to county jail records, he was arrested Sunday in Bryan, Texas, charged with assault of a family member. Bond has been set at $5,000. Sark had to release a statement, said, "We're aware of the situation. We have talked with family members. He's been suspended from all team activities as we continue to monitor the legal process." And this is probably... I don't know if this is Sark's first role with having to deal with stuff like this, but Texas, but
it's the first one I've seen.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the unfortunate part. I talked to a coach at the Big 12 level and said, you know, look, every night I go to bed and I look at my phone and I say, please don't ring at 1 a.m.
Yeah,
and
coaches deal with a lot.
It's just and at any level. I mean, you got as Chris Peterson once told us, it's the dumbest demographic of all of our entire country. Males somewhere between 17 and 21, and they do really, really dumb, stupid things.
And you know, apparently back in the Art Briles day, you can just bury things and try to act like it's not happening. In today's world, you can't do that. Your job, your name, your reputation, everything is on the line. You bury one incident. You try to hide or protect one player, and you're done. I hope that head coaches understand that. Today's world, you just can't do it. It used to be done all the time. Without cell phones, without cell phone records, without pictures, you could bury a lot. You can't do that now. And so, yeah, this is the first one that I've seen Steve Sarkisian have to deal with. And I know a couple of the staff members up there, and or down there, I guess it would be. To be accurate, I don't want the directional experts to get upset with me.
Yeah.
Remember, Lavelle would get so irritated
with that
stuff.
He gets upset about that, yeah.
I think Gordon gets upset about that stuff with Jake Scott.
Yeah, it's back east.
It's kind of a generational thing.
Yeah, he likes the back east or out west, and I guess Texas would that be down south?
Yeah.
So I know a couple of the staff, and these are good men down there. These guys that I know on that Texas staff, they're good men, and they're going to take this stuff serious. And it must have been serious for them to hand down this quick of a suspension.
Yeah, no doubt.
This is guilty before found guilty.
Yep. All right, Hans and Scotty, 11:52, coming up next, Whole World News. Also, KSL Sports, Ben Anderson is going to join us coming up at about 12:05. It's all right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The Top 60 and 60 is back on the Zone Sports Network. Get your college football fix every day at 1:30 as the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2021 season by listing off the top 60 players in the state of Utah as voted on by the local media. You'll also hear from the coaches as they talk about the players that will impact their season the most. It's the Top 60 and 60, weekdays at 1:30, presented by Cypress Credit Union and ICON on your home of the best college football coverage in Utah. 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands.
97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Time for another edition of Whole World News, brought to you by EliteWorks.
Man, this is a crazy story. So I got to take you to St. Paul's District. I believe this is Minnesota. And it's into school year. All right, Scotty.
Okay.
The principal, her name is Stacy Bonick. She sends out this amazing email to all the staff and faculty of this school, St. Paul. And here's just a little excerpt from it. It says, "The job has always been challenging, but nothing prepared for the stresses that this year would bring," talking about the pandemic.
Yeah.
It was a really heartfelt, emotional email. "Schools are so much more than academics. Schools are places where people come to be loved, to feel safe, and to be nurtured. Educators provide more than teaching and learning. We are sources of stability and calm during the storms." And sent this beautiful email. Well, one of the faculty members was reading through this and was like, "This does not sound like our principal." First of all, apparently Stacy Bonick, when she sends emails, there's typos, misspelled words, bad punctuation, and this was perfectly written. And so it tipped this educator off, and they were like, "This isn't our principal. Like, this is for somewhere else."
Yeah.
So the person took a portion of this and did a Google search.
Yeah.
And found out that this was written by another principal. Another principal, his name is Greg Wilkie. He's a principal at Eastside Elementary in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And it was a 364-word post that he'd put on Facebook that was retweeted or re-Facebooked like 1,600 times.
Yeah.
She grabbed the whole thing, put it in an email, and sent it to her faculty and staff as if it was hers. Now, here's the funny thing. St. Paul has a plagiarism.
Oh no.
They've got a plagiarism. A plagiarism policy put in place. It's a stage 3 of a level 5 offense.
Yeah.
So they've suspended her.
Oh my, just
off plagiarism. Because now the students are like, "Oh great, so now our principal's out there plagiarizing?" So they suspended the principal for plagiarism.
Are you okay with this? I think you got it. I think all you had to do is just, like, in the words of one of my colleagues in Chattanooga,
that's all it would have taken.
That's all you got to say.
That's all it would have taken.
You know what? Like, at first, I was like, okay, look, it's not a big deal. But you know what? You're trying to set an example for your students. You can't have that.
Did you ever?
No, but I don't know how. But fortunately, you and I did not grow up in school in the world of Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Or the internet.
Yep.
To a high level.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how kids don't, frankly, because it would be awfully tempting to copy and paste.
Yeah, it would be beyond tempting, and it would be impossible for me to not do that.
Like, I'm not on a moral high ground here. I'm saying I didn't because I really didn't have the resources to do it.
You could plagiarize from books. You don't need Wiki.
Yeah, but that means you had to go to the library.
Yeah, and you had to, like, type it out. because you couldn't find it on the online and just copy and paste. You had to type it out, which
that's so much fun.
Might as well use your own words and thoughts at that point. There was a point in my life. I was in ancient Chinese history. It was a class
at BYU?
It was a class that I had to take for a major.
Okay.
Ancient Chinese history.
For PE? You had to take
it. I didn't take it, but I didn't graduate in PE. Don't. That's not funny.
When you say ancient, you just graduated not that long ago.
Huh? No, I'm saying that the class I was in was ancient Chinese history.
Oh.
And I just happened to be in that class with Carlos Nuno. Now, Carlos Nuno was an incredible student when he would go to class.
Yeah.
It was just getting to class was tough for Carlos. I would go to class, but I was not a good student once I was there. Okay. I would just go to schmooze.
Yeah, which is smart. Half the battle. All you college kids, you got to do that.
But I went through this one semester. I had myself convinced that teachers don't read papers. They don't. I was like, there's no way they read this garbage. It's boring. And so I'm like, well, what does it matter? So while Carlos wasn't looking, I got his paper. I changed the name. I changed the opening paragraph. It was like a 25-page midterm. I went through a thesaurus, changed about 20 words, and turned it in right on top of his. He didn't know. But I was like, there is no way they're reading this garbage. Like, this is just boring stuff. I didn't even really read the piece that I plagiarized because it was so boring.
No, but I bet their aides are reading it.
The aides did read it, and I got in quite a bit of trouble.
And you dragged
Carlos down
there.
You didn't even separate them? Like, you literally put them back to back.
Back to back.
Oh, man.
I honestly didn't think that they would even look.
Yeah.
Had no – I thought, this is the most boring stuff, and what does it even matter?
And they caught you.
Yeah, they did. They caught me. Now, what happened after that is not important. Let's just say mercy was shown upon me.
Yeah.
And I'm truly grateful to that professor.
Lavelle's all like, hands, no, did we plagiarize a paper?
And look, I'm honest to a fault. And I'm not afraid to share that. If I could go back, I wouldn't do it the same.
I would have put five papers between me and Carlos.
Minimum.
Yeah. Greg's hanging out with us. We're live here at RGS Exteriors. And, no plagiarizing going on here because, frankly, every house is different. Every item's different. I mean, every, from James Hardy to whatever you want to do with your house, you can get it done here at RGS. And I got to imagine, too, that, your people probably put in some input on what would look best, but ultimately it depends on the consumer and what they want.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So we'll go out to a house and talk with homeowners. And a lot of times homeowners have gone to Pinterest or driven around neighborhoods and taken pictures of other houses. And they're like, I like this. I like this. Can you mesh this together and, put it up, give us a design off that? We do that all the time. Mm-hmm. Take the homeowner's input, design something we think they're going to like. We'll give them ideas. Hey, maybe you want to do this here, or add some brick there, or accent piece there. But, we can customize your house to every last little detail that you're looking for.
My house is complete Hardy. I'm a huge believer in the Hardy plank. I love the way it holds paint. I love the way you can change color. You can repaint. I love the fact that it never moves. Extreme heat, extreme weather, it doesn't shift, it doesn't change. So my entire house is Hardy, and you guys are the preferred Hardy plank dealer.
We are. We are. If you call James Hardy and ask him, hey, who do you recommend to put siding on our home, they're going to give you our number. They're going to refer you to us. And, the Hardy is a very durable product. Just like you said, you don't have to worry about the thermal expansion, contraction, the house shrinking and swelling, your vinyl, you get some of these houses with the vinyl melting off of it and the temperatures we're having now or the barbecue or grill up next to it melting it. The Hardy is just a really durable product.
Is that your most in-demand product right now? Is that your most installations is James Hardy?
We probably 60-70% of our products we're doing James Hardy. As far as the siding portion, we do a lot of stone and stucco, and we do still install vinyl still. It's still a popular product.
People still using a little stucco here and there, though, huh?
Oh, yeah. A lot of these new builders are doing three-quarter stucco. They'll do a hardy on the face of it, and they'll do stucco around the back, on the sides and the back. And we actually have a lot of homeowners that we're doing the same thing, where the house was stuccoed previously. We're coming in and tearing off the front and make sure everything looks good underneath there, and then putting hardy on the front of the house.
801-280-3110. That's the number to call right now, 801-280-3110. All we ask is you call, get some information, have somebody come out and take a look at your place. 801-280-3110. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.